Chapter 22. Red in Tooth and Claw. The Emperor, Vader, and Tarkin, the Empire's newly formed Dark Triumvirate, met in private in the pinnacle chamber of the spire. The Emperor was in his customary chair, with Tarkin seated opposite him across the table. Vader remained standing, as he usually did when in the presence of his master. 3 weeks had passed since the attack on the convoy, most of which Tarkin had devoted to interrogating the captured conspirators and collaborators, with some assistance from Vader and ISB specialists. None had died during the process, though all had since been executed in secret. The ISB had advocated for making a public spectacle of their deaths, but the Emperor had ultimately rejected the idea, if only to deny the dissidents martyrdom. The details of Rancid's death, too, became a closely guarded secret, even among his peers in the intelligence community. But most got the message. No rank or position was a guarantee of privilege or exemption. Everyone was expendable. "It's clear that he felt passed over," Tarkin was explaining to the Emperor. "First, he was forced to disappoint his former operatives on Antar IV, due to a squabble between military intelligence and the ISB, and then he lost command of Sentinel Base, which he perceived as a demotion for having objected to the actions the Empire took on the Gotal Moon."
"So, the plot began with him," the Emperor said.
Tarkin nodded. "In a sense. He was informed, through back channels, of the conspirators' attempt to procure prescribed armaments, confiscated Separatist materiel, and communications jammers. When he learned, however, that the prospective buyers were former Republic intelligence operatives, he facilitated their access to Imperial depots and armories."
"The warehouse workers and salvagers who supplied the conspirators have been dealt with,"
Vader pointed out,
"including several scientists at Desolation Station who violated the terms of their security oaths."
Tarkin waited for Vader to finish.
"We've also determined that the warship was assembled at shipyards in the Bajic sector, jointly owned and operated by the Tanla Syndicate and lower-level members of the Crimora Syndicate. Along with those, our operatives discovered two clandestine facilities located elsewhere in the Outer Rim, both of them long abandoned. We did, however, succeed in tracing the whereabouts of some of those involved, and they have since been eliminated."
"Good," the Emperor said. "Let that be a lesson to all of them."
He narrowed his eyes at Tarkin.
"Including the one who apparently got away."
"The headhunter was found on Christophsis," Tarkin said, more defensively than he had planned.
"You are certain the starfighter belonged to Teller?"
Vader asked.
"His genetic fingerprints were all over it," Tarkin said.
"An intelligence officer of Teller's skill would know better than to leave his ship to be found, much less his fingerprints."
Vader paused, then added,
"He left us his calling card."
"He's gone to ground," Tarkin said.
Vader regarded him.
"You don't believe that any more than I do."
Tarkin took a breath and blew it out.
"I don't suppose I do."
He paused.
"Finally, there is the matter of funding for the warship, droids, and other materiel. Evidence points to the fact that Rancid played a role in diverting funds allocated to Naval Intelligence's black budget. But the investigation is ongoing. Others may have been involved."
The Emperor gestured in impatience. "Was it Rancid who brought these malcontents together?"
No, he wasn't responsible for assembling the cell," Tarkin said. "The idea appears to have originated with Knotts or Teller. Or perhaps they were in league with each other from the start. But Rancid may have contributed the names of people known to be on ISB's watch lists for acts of sedition or sabotage. That may explain how the Mon Cal engineer came to be part of the cell, though it's possible that Artos was enlisted while Teller was head of security at Desolation Station. The Mon Cal's involvement certainly explains their familiarity with the Carrion Spike, as well as with the convoy route.
But not the battle station,
the Emperor said. No, my lord, Tarkin said. Many are aware that an Imperial construction project is in progress at Geonosis, but the mobile battle station is not in jeopardy. The Emperor steepled his fingers and fell silent for a long moment.
I will give the matter consideration.
Of course, my lord, Tarkin said. For Rancid, the plan entailed nothing more than allowing the conspirators to attack a few Imperial facilities. He promised them Corrida, but he never had any intention of allowing them to fire on the Imperial Academy. In fact, he attempted to betray them earlier by incapacitating the Carrion Spike at Noaen, but the dissidents managed to escape.
What case did the dissidents make for attacking the Academy?
That an attack would send a message to potential enlistees, Tarkin said. But of course their principal target all along was the convoy. They were counting on the fact that Rancid would go to great lengths to assure that his subterfuge was beyond suspicion, as was his wont during the Clone Wars. Thus the starship allocations and redeployments. We suspect that the conspirators had a short list of secondary targets as well, and were monitoring Rancid's ship dispositions. When he inadvertently fulfilled their hope that the battle station convoy would be left relatively unprotected, their decision was made. The Emperor's furtive smile gave Tarkin pause. Had he actually seen through Rancid's and the dissidents' schemes from the beginning? Had the events of the past few weeks been less about unmasking a cell of traitors than testing Tarkin's ability to foil the plot and to work effectively with Vader? Along with planning to betray two of the men he worked most closely with during the Clone Wars, Tarkin went on, Rancid outwitted the